1 Samuel chapter 16, if you've been here on a Wednesday night, you know we're involved in a short series called Abused and Misused Scriptures. And I haven't really prioritized these in terms of which is the most abused and misused, but it seems like I've been covering the ones that are more frequently misused. It wasn't my intention. They just started coming. Let me say two other things quickly before we get started. One is this. On Wednesday night Bible studies, I just want to remind you, if you have a question that arises from our study that night, text it to me during the teaching, and then after I get finished, we'll do our best to answer those. And then another thing is, if you have a scripture, and I won't be able to get to all of them, if you have a scripture that you think is being abused and misused, text it to me or email it to me, and we'll see if that won't be one of the scriptures that we'll look at on a Wednesday night. I appreciate your attention and your interest in these, and I really believe it's very, very important. And to find out how important I think it is, you'll need to be here on Sunday morning, Lord willing. Would you stand for the reading of the Word? We'll look at two verses tonight, and the last verse is the abused and misused verse. And it came to pass, when they were come, that Samuel looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. And here it is, this particular phrase. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now I'm going to do something different. I'm going to entitle this a title. You young people are real thinkers. I see that when I'm preaching and teaching. And as I begin to teach tonight, I want you to try to figure out if my title's correct or not. Could you do that? Try to figure out if my title's correct. The title this evening is God Only Looks at the Heart. God Only Looks at the Heart. See if that's true or not true. Verse 7, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen. I didn't plan it this way, but this may be just in time for summer. Let's pray together. Father, we covet the moving of your Holy Spirit. Your word is inspired. It's breathed by you, your spirit, and holy men to write it down. May that same spirit make it real to our hearts through the teaching and the hearing tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you something. It's been my observation, and I want to see if it's your observation, but there are many folks who never accept the Bible as the authority to rule their lives, but they turn to the Bible to try to justify something that's wrong in their lives. Have you ever noticed that? They don't accept the Bible as the rule and authority for their lives, but they'll turn to the Bible to try to justify something in their lives. You know, I want to caution this, and I'm not trying to be facetious here. I just want to caution us. You hear folks quoting Scripture, and well, they must be right. They're quoting Scripture, but I want to caution us. Satan quoted Scripture. So it's not just being able to quote Scripture. It's getting it right, quoting it right, getting the intended meaning. In fact, that's why we're having this series, because a lot of folks are quoting Scripture, but they're abusing and misusing it as they quote it. Let's ask a few more questions before we get into this. When I think of how this verse is usually used, I wonder why some folks are so diligent to use the Bible to justify living less committed, to justify separating less from the world. They use the Bible to justify backing away from the things of God instead of using the Bible to justify growing more committed and using the Bible to see the need to live less like the world. In other words, let me put it very simply. Why is it that some folks use the Bible to back away from the things of God instead of using the Bible to move forward in the things of God? Which of those do you think God intended for his word to be used? As we've been doing this, first of all, we're going to look at the wrong interpretation. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. If we could go back to the verse there. Thank you, brother. The wrong interpretation, here's how I hear folks explaining and using this verse. It doesn't matter what clothes we wear because God only considers our heart and not our exterior. If that's true, would it matter if we just didn't wear any clothes then? Seriously, if it doesn't matter to God. But this is how this verse is taken. It doesn't matter what clothes we wear because God only considers our heart and not our exterior. Here's another way it's taken, another implication. It doesn't matter what people think about what we wear because it doesn't matter to God what we wear. That's this extrapolation. It doesn't matter what people think about what we wear because it doesn't matter to God what we wear. Let me give you another wrong interpretation drawn from this. A person can't draw any conclusions about a person from their outward appearance. You can't draw any conclusions about a person from their outward appearance. You know, let me tell you, from being in airports, that's why we have a problem. I've seen them roll little old 85-year-old lady from Kansas on oxygen in a wheelchair, wheel her aside to give her a special search, and then let somebody walk through that is of an age, that is wearing apparel, and is of a nationality of a country or a group that produces many terrorists. That guy walks right through, and the lady in the wheelchair is specially searched because we don't want to profile. We don't want to believe that a person's appearance says anything about them. And I'm not talking about being discriminating tonight because that's sin. That's wrong. That's James chapter 2. It's wrong to do that. But it's also wrong not to draw some logical conclusions. The little lady, 85 years old, that's lived in Kansas all her life on oxygen, is confined to the wheelchair. She is not a likely terrorist, right? But it's this mentality that you can't draw any conclusions from folks by their outward appearance. Let me give you some reasons I think people wrongly interpret this verse. People want to deny that our exterior life matters to God. People want to excuse dressing or ornamenting their bodies any way they choose. They say, I want to dress the way I want to dress, ornament myself the way I want, or any way I choose. That's why they interpret this verse this way. People want to deny that other people are or should be affected by what we wear. They don't want to admit that I affect other people by what I wear. If you don't believe that, what if I came in here tonight with swastikas all over me with a special uniform and I kept doing this all through service and I had a new tattoo right between my eyes? Would you say that wouldn't affect you tonight? How many would say that wouldn't bother you in the least? It does. But see, they want to interpret this because they want to deny that the way we dress, our outward appearance, affects the way other people see us and what conclusions they draw. Let me give you one more reason. Now remember, you're going to try to see if my title's correct or not. I want you to think, you to listen, you to look at the scripture, and you tell me God only looks on the inside. Another reason they like to quote this or wrongly interpret it is because people want to guilt somebody that actually sees how their choice of attire and ornamentation affects them and others. They use this verse to guilt folks that say, hey, I want to dress modest. Hey, I want to dress godly. They say, oh, that has nothing to do with godliness. And so they use the verse to try to guilt folks. It's a misuse, as we're going to see, and a use. Now, let me talk about the irony. I always do this every time on these. Here's the irony. Can we get back to the verse, if it's possible? Here's the irony. People quote this or read it and say, well, I tell you what, I'll tell you one thing. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And they quote it with this smugness that, you know, man, you know, man may, you know, he may see the outside and he may be judgmental and man may, but God, thank the Lord, hallelujah. God just looks on the heart. Do you get it? I want to tell you something. That's not relieving. That's scary. God sees past the exterior. He sees every thought. He sees every motive. He sees every attitude. He sees every desire. He sees every intent. He sees everything that's wrong, every jealousy. He sees every bitterness. He sees every hatefulness. He sees every fakeness, every hypocrisy. And folks want to quote this like it's taking the pressure off. Well, I'm escaping, you know, forget about man because, you know, God, he don't look on the outside. He just looks on the heart. So I'm off the hook. I'm telling you, it's a frightening thing to know that God sees past the skin. He sees past the exterior. He sees to the very heart. You see, you can easily fool man. I'm talking about humans. You can easily fool a man and men on how you outwardly present yourself. You can fool folks. But you'll never fool God with your outward appearance. Never will. Can't do it. And did you know, let me tell you something else about that. Now, I'm saying this tongue in cheek. I wish God only looked at the outward appearance and not the heart. It's a lot easier to change things about the outside of us than it is to change things on the inside of us. And if all it took to make it to heaven was just to get things on the outside, man, we would pass flying colors. But man, when I think about, where did that come from? Man. Hey, when I think about, you do this with me right now. Think of some of the things that goes on up in here. And God sees those. And so I don't see this as a way to be frivolous and flippant and say, well, you know, man may look at the outside, but God looks at the heart like, woo, you know, we're off the hook. I see this as a very sobering thing. Let me tell you some other ironies here. The same folks that say the outward doesn't matter are the same ones that's obsessed and absorbed with the outward. They'd like to tell church folks and people trying to live godly that the outside doesn't matter, but they're all into fashion. They're all into the latest clothing, the latest brand. So if the outside doesn't matter, why are you so obsessed with it? That's an irony. I'm just looking at the irony. The same folks that say we shouldn't judge by the outside are the biggest critics of the outside. Did you see what they had on? That was sure out. That's not in fashion. That looks silly. Well, so, you know, they are. And especially you let someone want to live godly and try to let what God does on the inside show in all of their life, and they'll be the biggest critics of those people. Well, look how they're dressing. Well, if it doesn't matter, why? We're back to the judge not thing. Why are you judging them? And these are just some ironies. Let me tell you one more irony, and there's others. But those who quote this verse this way sound like, in our society, they sound like the liberals who use the same scriptures to justify deviant lifestyles. They will tell of a person that's involved in an evident deviant lifestyle, they'll use this very verse and say, no, don't judge them by the outside. God knows the heart. Those are just the ironies. Now let's turn our attention to what it really says. Look at verse 7 again. Just the latter part of the verse. No, let's look at it all. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Now, we've been focusing on two things every time to get to the real meaning, and the first of those is context. What is the context? God has rejected Saul as king of Israel. He sends his prophet, the holy man Samuel, with a freshly filled horn of oil to anoint a new king. He sent him to Jesse's in Bethlehem, Jesse's household. He asked Jesse for his sons to come into the room. And then Samuel is looking amongst the sons for the one that's going to be the next king. Eliab, eldest, walks in, and as scripture says, Samuel looked at him, and Eliab, he's tall, he's well formed, he's well muscled, he's handsome. And Samuel said, now there, he looks like a king. That's the context. He looks like a king. Surely this must be the one that God has chosen. Now, what I want you to see from the context, this verse has absolutely nothing to do. I'm talking about interpretation. We can talk about applications later. But in interpretation, this verse has nothing to do with clothing. It has to do with the physical appearance, the physical stature of a person. Eliab, as Samuel looked at him, Samuel wasn't looking at his clothes. Samuel was looking on how handsome, how stately, how dignified, how muscular, how healthy even he looked. And here's what God was saying, Brother Dale. He told Samuel, Eliab may look like a king, but he doesn't have a king's heart. He looks like a king. You see, it wasn't that Eliab didn't look the part, but really was. It was that Eliab looked the part, but wasn't. That's the context. You know, some folks will say, well, they don't look like they love God, but they really do. That's not the context. It's not that they didn't, that Eliab didn't look the part, but he truly was. It's that Eliab, he looked the part, but he wasn't. See the context? The context is looking the part, but not being it. And the second thing we looked at was the intention. Not just the context, the intention. What did God intend when he spoke these words to Samuel that we're looking at? Well, I want you to look at them real carefully. If you look at these words, normally it's interpreted wrongly by saying this. Man only looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord only looks on the heart. That's how it's interpreted. That's not it at all. It's not contrasting God looking on the inside to only on the inside to man looking only on the outside. It's talking about the limitations of what man can see. See, man is limited. The outside is the only thing he can see. But God's not like that. God's not limited like a man. God, certainly he sees the outside, but he's not limited like a man. He can see on the inside. That's what God was intending to communicate with Samuel. It's not a contrast between what God sees and doesn't see, cares about or doesn't care about. It's a contrast between how God sees and how a human sees. A human can only see to the extent of the exterior, but God gazes far past the exterior. God sees the very heart. All things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, as in so much of truth, where I live or want to live determines how I respond to truth. If I don't want to live right, if I don't want help from God, that's disturbing that he sees the inside. But if I really want help, it's comforting to know that God's, he knows the struggle, he knows the pain, he knows the difficulty. And so what God was saying to Samuel isn't condemning man. This is where the verse is wrongly interpreted. He's not condemning man for seeing the outside, but he's stressing man's inability to see any further than that. He's not saying it's bad that man notices the outside. It's wrong that man notices the outside. He's not saying that. He's stressing man's inability to see any further than that. You know, if you go to the doctor, he can tell you some things just with his eyes. Now, I want to ask you something. If you went to the doctor and he saw this big old mole on your arm and he looked at it and he said, that looks like cancer, how many would condemn him and fault him? He's looking on the outside. Would you fault him for that? No, you wouldn't. But on the other hand, how many knows the limitations of that doctor? He can only see so many things that's wrong with you by using his eyes. Sometimes he has to resort to the x-ray that can see even deeper. Now, it wasn't wrong for the doctor to examine you and look with you at you with only his eyes and tell some things that way. But sometimes deeper things are wrong that he can't see with his eyes. Men see things with their eyes and they can draw some pretty correct conclusions about things. But on the deep matters, the motivating matters, the hidden matters, only God has the x-ray vision, so to speak, to see in the interior. Now, I want to ask you, would you fault the doctor because he couldn't see on the inside? No. Would you fault him if he brought in the x-rays and the x-rays revealed the cancer? No. You would thank him. And when we really realize what God's all about, we'll thank him that he can see clear on the inside. Do something about the heart. Well, we always conclude, we have a few questions here. We always conclude with the so what. What does that matter to us? If we rightly interpret this, what does that mean? Well, first of all, God does look on the heart. Forget this part about man looking on the outside for a moment. God sees our heart. I want my heart to be right. That's why we ought to cry, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We want to get on that verse, we want to get all tripped up about man looking on the outward appearance. Don't get tripped up on that. Put the attention on God is looking at my heart. Secondly, we take away from this, or should take away from this, man does look on the outward appearance. Remember, it wasn't saying it was wrong for man to look on the outward appearance. It's just saying that's the limitation of his look. But man does look on the outward appearance. In this verse, God never condemned Samuel for looking at Eliab's exterior. He never condemned that. He just said, Samuel, you can't see as deeply as I can. I didn't really want to get into this clothing part, and I'll explain that in a moment. But I may just be really, this is discreet but and really simple, but we wear clothes for other people. You know, everyone said, well, no one should care what you dress and what you wear. That's beside the point. The only reason we wear clothes for ourselves is for protection and warmth, those sort of things. But the basic reason we wear clothes is because there's other people. Right? Well, that was deep. That was real deep. You see my point? They're always saying, well, clothes shouldn't matter to other people, but that's the very reason we wear clothing. It's because of other people. And so some folks say, well, clothing doesn't matter. Well, it does. We chose what we wore tonight with other folks in mind. And make no mistake, we'll get there in a moment. There are things that govern our choices. That's the very reason we choose him. Well, you say, well, Pastor, I'm still hung up on that. I just don't think it matters. Well, let's say this. It's July, and you've been telling folks you don't think anybody ought to judge anything about anybody by what they wear. And you're in line at the bank in July, and a man walks in, and he's got a ski mask and gloves on. Practice what you preach. Make no judgments about that fella. Because you're looking at his outward appearance. Right? Don't make any judgments about him. The truth of the matter is, we do affect others by our choices. The male is tempted by immodestly dressed women far more than tempted by modestly dressed women. It affects. So we do see the outward appearance. A man did some studies some year back John Molly. One of the experiments that he did is he went to Grand Central Station, and he had a suit on, no tie, and he went around to folks and he said, "I am terribly embarrassed, but I left home without my wallet this morning, and I need 75 cents to ride the subway home. Could you give me 75 cents?" He did that for 1 hour. The second hour, he put a tie on, same suit, same everything, and went around to folks. I'm terribly embarrassed, but I ran off without my wallet. Could I have 75 cents? I'm sorry to ask you for the subway. The first hour, he only got $7.53. The second hour, he got $26 and some odd cents. He never changed what he said. The only difference was he had a tie. Now, if you think I'm preaching that everybody ought to start wearing ties all the time, I'm not, unless you plan on panhandling. I mean, it might help you there. My point is, we do affect others by what we wear. Let me tell you something else. We affect ourselves by what we wear. Do you know that? All my life, you know, I got a uniform you're looking at. This is my uniform. I mean, I try not to wear the same one every day, but it's the same ensemble, you know, suit, tie. And from my older kids on, I mean, one of the pleas was when I came home, "Dad, put your play clothes on." You know, get your old jeans on and stuff. And I knew I had a problem when I first started pastoring. I'd been pastoring about 10 years, and I showed up at a Sunday school picnic with jeans on, and many of the young people just came around the stair and said, "I've never seen you in jeans. I've never seen you." But I want to tell you personally, even though I'm used to wearing a suit, I feel different, I act different, I deport myself different. I mean, I don't go wild when I put on blue jeans, but but I don't go work out in the garden with my suit on. I'm more relaxed, right? It does affect us. So it affects other people. It affects us. And it affects how other people respond to us. Make no mistake about it. I've walked downtown Dayton. People treat me much differently when I'm dressed like this. They'll nod at you. They'll say, "Hi," you know, whatever. I go down in my play clothes, and I don't get near the respect. So that's a ludicrous kind of argument, that it doesn't have an effect. It doesn't make any difference. And man does see the outside. It does. Now, just a few more things and we'll quit. The outward should reflect the inward. I'm not going to preach this. I'm just going to read the verses. "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of your hair, the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear." That shouldn't be your adornment. Your adornment should be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. What it's saying here, Peter's saying here, is what's on the inside should be reflected on the outside, and what's on the outside shouldn't take away from what's on the inside. I told you I wouldn't preach on that, so I won't. The outward does say something about us. We send a message by the way we dress. Why? Because we show our interest, our values, our feelings about ourselves, our thinking, our habits. We show that in the choices we make in our dress. Why did we choose what we chose? And so I won't preach about this. Let me just quickly, before we end, give you some questions about this. If the outward does say something about us, here's some questions to ask. I don't have a number, but number one, does my clothing say that I'm committed to serving God and living the example that Jesus Christ set for us to live? People says, you know, your clothing has nothing to do with Christianity. Let me tell you something. Clothing reflects culture. You can tell by some folks' clothing that they're into the surfing culture. You can tell by some people's clothing that they're into the gothic culture, and on and on. And I want to tell you, it does say something about us. We can dress to glorify Christ, or we can dress to glorify flesh and man. Another question. Does my clothing say that I respect those around me and respect myself? I mean, again, this is discreet, but the way, and I'm speaking I'm just telling you, in our society, the way women of the world dress show no respect to the feelings and the concerns of those around them. See, a Christian doesn't think just of themselves. They think of others, right? They think of others. Another question. Does my clothing say that I believe my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Isn't that a good question? Does my clothing say my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Does my clothing befit an ambassador of Christ? Let me ask you, for whatever reason, if you were chosen to represent the United States, wherever, the UN and another nation, how would you go dressed if you were going to represent the United States? Wouldn't it affect the way you dressed? Shouldn't we keep in mind that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ? See, do you see what you say? You're trying to focus on man. No, I'm not. I'm trying to focus upon Christ. Our clothing should show that we're ambassadors of Christ. Does my clothing I wear to church indicate an attitude of worship and respect? Now, I want to tell you, I didn't even take time to read it. I just saw it on Facebook. Someone that's not even our circles, they had wrote an article about how folks came to church to worship and how they were distracted, the people who wore the clothing themselves. This is not even in our tradition. But they just talked about it was not in tune with worship. And I'm not just talking about the church, but I mean, there are holy things, and God is righteous and pure. And if I got an attitude of loving Him and respecting Him and honoring Him, it will affect everything about me. What I talk about, forget the clothing for a moment, it'll affect what I talk about in His house, right? It'll affect what I do during the service. And then, does my clothing project modesty or immodesty? You know, someone always uses this. You can't judge a book by its cover. Now, I want to tell you something. You cannot judge every book by its cover. But you can judge many books by their cover. Isn't that right? Let me ask you something. If you're at a library book sale, well, maybe not library, you're at a book sale, and picked up a book, and on the cover was a pornographic photo, would you say, well, you can't judge a book by its cover and start leafing through it? Would you? Brother Dan, you picked up a book. It says American Birds. Would you look for a chapter on four pickup trucks in it? No. So you can't judge every book by its cover, but you can judge many books by their cover. And make no mistake, people do. One last thing. There are biblical principles that do address the outward. 1 Samuel 16 that we looked at tonight, that may not be one of them, but there are biblical principles that address the outward. I thought it was one of those ironies. I probably should have mentioned it there. But someone had a picture on the internet, and it's a man. He has a tattoo with a quote from Leviticus against homosexual behavior, and the Bible does say that in Leviticus. And so he had a tattoo and had it tattooed on his arm. The only thing is, like two chapters later, it says, don't make any markings on your flesh. So there are biblical principles. Now, I want you to hear me before I quit. I'm just talking to you now. You notice it wasn't spit and holler time, but you say, Pastor, you made this about clothes. No, I didn't. Not at all. Those that made this verse about clothes were the ones who wrongly interpreted. Right? They're the ones that made it about clothes. That's why we responded in such a way. Let me give you this conclusion. One can look pure and be impure on the inside. But it is impossible for one to truly be pure on the inside and look impure on the outside. Because the heart will govern. The regenerated, born-again, spirit-filled heart will govern that person's life. I'm not saying we don't ever make mistakes and we don't ever make bad choices, but I'm talking about in the direction and the drift and the overall of our life. If our hearts are pure, it'll show that God has done a work. Don't you think it ought to be that way with people? Don't you think people ought to be able to look at folks and say, look what God has done. Look what God has done. You say, you mean by looking out the outside? Remember, God said that's all man can see. How are they going to know what God's wrought if it's all hidden on the inside? How will they ever know what God has done? I've went too long tonight. Maybe I'll just save this illustration. We may not get to it because I want to get to a few of these questions here. Okay, this is just a comment. Thank you. He only has to look on the heart because the heart directs the outward appearance. This is one of the young people. So it's true, God only looks at the heart. I'm going to let you debate that a little longer. I'm not going to declare myself there. Notice the line, God looks on the heart as an excuse is never applied to the brothers. Male, I think this means male here. I haven't read through the whole thing. God did not look on their hearts, and they were not qualified. If the only criteria for living is God seeing the heart, do they not fear his disapproval? Is it just another way to get away with whatever they want to do? And that goes back to the irony. I would be a lot more concerned about how God sees my heart than I would about trying to justify things on that. I want my heart justified. And let me tell you something. Here's the wonder of it all. Let me tell you how this works. Nothing we can do can make us look good in our hearts to God. You can comb your hair nice, get it parted really well. Nothing you can do can make yourself look good to God. Nothing. Not even good works. But if you'll come to the Lord and say, God, without you, I'm rotten to the core. God, without you, I don't think right, I don't do right, I don't choose right. God, I need you, and I realize you sent Jesus to be to me what I could never be to you. You sent Jesus to die for my sins and be righteous. Let me tell you what happens. Then we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. God sees past the exterior, but God does not see past the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the confessed sin. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you can be clothed in his righteousness? Amen. I went too long. I won't share this final illustration. Would you stand across the building? Amen. Father, thank you that you see us and yet you love us. Thank you, Lord, you have but one goal in mind, to help us, to guide us, to change us, to transform us. And Lord, truly in everything said tonight, help us to not to yield to the pressure to be conformed to this world, but Lord, help us to be transformed, changed on the inside by the renewing of our minds. Lord, bless your people tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come and pray and let the word of God find resting in your heart?
you.